Welcome to Prevailing Prayers with GSW. This promises to be another transformative time with the Word of God. Let your hearts be ready to receive the Word mixed with faith that would yield innumerable testimonies in your life. God bless you as you listen.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to class. I'm going to teach on active and passive prophecies this evening. And then 10 o'clock, for those who will be at that teaching, which is for PSSBC, I'll be teaching on how to wage war with prophecy. But because I don't want those who are on the 6 p.m. class, which is general, to miss out, I'll mention a bit of that also. But I need them to make it clear to us what I'm aiming to do by the Spirit of God with these classes. The intention is that the believer should be a workman who need not be afraid, who did not doubt. A believer should be well equipped, not to depend on anyone. That is the aim. That you are independent of circumstances by yourself, able to stand by yourself as a child of God and hold the rein and tell the sun not to go down. That you can say to a thing, a situation, no way, you will not be. And that you can, even when you are in the wrong, you know, when you have done something terrible and you know, I did something that. In fact, if there should be fairness, this thing I did, I should end up maybe in prison or locked up or arrested, or all my property should be taken. Even when you find yourself in such a situation, you can prophesy your way out of it. You can prophesy your way out of it. That is not to say I've given anybody the license to do anything. I'm just saying a lot of us don't know that. They don't know that. They don't know that Christ is our readers, that he reads you of the things that are internal, and he also reads you of the troubles that are external. That you can say that. You can say that, yeah, that judge, that case, you will not pronounce me guilty. I am innocent. That is what you say. I'm not kidding. Some of you remember some testimonies of very valid, solid cases against some people. A particular sister came to us talking about her husband. The husband wanted to receive a contract. And the husband had always done contract maximum of 20 million with the government. But this particular contract was for about 200 million. He had never done a contract like that before. But he wanted to do that contract. So he went to fortify documentations so that he can back up his reason for bidding for that contract. The company saw it. And typically, because of Nigerian system, they may not see anything. But because they wanted to make him an example, they arrested him and the matter went to court. And when they got to court, they told him that this judge gives no quarter. You are going to jail for several years, or you are going to pay a hefty fine that will bankrupt you for life. And the wife ran and said, help us, help me. My husband is guilty. Yeah, so here is where a typical pastor will say, so I prayed for him. So people will not praise me and say, Abraminga, you are anointed. No. No. That is not the way. That is a way, but that is not the way. The way is not that a Christian should be running a task getter. You shouldn't do anything wrong. But even if you did, I have to say that emphatically. Not so that somebody can go about doing something wrong. But you know, this is life. I have a pastor's wife, again, who went to church by herself, parked her car in front of the church where they normally park cars. There was a woman in that church, in that parking space, who would sell, who has a, what they call a counter, this kiosk, who has a kiosk where she was selling biscuits, sweet and other things. And this woman had an 18-month-old baby that was still crawling and moving about. And she was careless with that child. She wasn't paying attention to her child. And that child crawled under the woman's car. This was about 7:30 in the evening. They finished Bible studies. The woman was going home. Who would ever think that I should check under the car before driving? Who would ever? Is there anybody in the world who won't want to leave a parking space to first check under the car? I don't. And I don't think there's anybody here who does that. You look at the perimeter of your car, front, back, right, left. That's it. How would you expect anybody to be under your car? So this baby has crawled under the Jeep. This woman started the car to go home and crush the baby. The woman is alive. He's a principal in Lagos. Because the son that called me, it was a... Even if you did, let's say it's a mistake. Let's say something went wrong. Let's say something went wrong. Let's say you mistakenly wanted to close the door of your car and your son or daughter has put their hand and they didn't remove the hand on time and you smash the door on the child's hand. Let's say you did something wrong. Let's say. This is life. Let's say you are driving and you are paying attention and then something happened and let's say you are speeding and you couldn't see a gully in front of you and your car was going to somersault. Let's say. It is one of the reasons why when Christians act as if situations are more powerful than them, I tell them no. It is a consciousness that a Christian should never have, that a situation in this world is beyond your control, no? For all things are subject to him who dwells in you. God has made all things subject to him. All things. All things. And when we are talking about the prophetic and the power that prophecy has, it is not just words. The prophetic nuance is not just that somebody speaks. Spoken prophecy is prophecy. Third prophecy is prophecy. There's prophecy that is active. There's prophecy that is passive. Elisha told a man, he said, hey, take the arrow, take the bow, and shoot. Did he tell him to talk? He didn't tell him to talk now. He said, take arrow, take bow. He said, shoot. And the man, not the arrow, pa, 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 three times. And then the man took the arrow, fia, 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 shot three times. And as he finished shooting three times, Elisha was expecting to hear more arrows flying. Elisha said, why did you shoot only three times? He said, no, you said I should shoot. I just thought Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Elisha said, no, you will have stopped. You have continued to shoot. I didn't give you a number of times so that you can totally destroy your enemies. Did he know that shooting arrow is prophetic? It is not only when you speak that you prophesy. He said, oh, the river was bad. The water in Jericho, he said it was bad. Elisha went to take coals of oil, coals of salt. So again, he went to take a salt and a brand new cruise, brand new bowl. And he went to the source of the river. And he poured the salt there. They didn't say, oh, no. The action of the prophet is prophetic. The word of a prophet is prophetic. The sight of a prophet is prophetic. Samuel killed an animal in the evening, burnt the animal, did what they call it now, barbecue with the animal, took the thigh of the animal, and kept it on the cupboard. He didn't eat it, he kept it. Saul came the next morning. Saul sat down. Saul said he was looking for donkeys. Samuel went to where he kept the animal, brought it down, gave it to him, told him to eat it. He said, "The Lord said I should keep it, keep meat for the next king of Israel." That is the action of a prophet. David took the cloth of Nathan. Nathan said, "Oh, this kingdom shall be taken from you and given to or Solomon." I took the cloth of Ahijah. And Ahijah took the cloth and tore it into 12 and gave the old ram 10 and kept 2 for the sons of David. And said, "Oh, that is your inheritance. That's your portion." That was how he divided Israel into Samaria and Israel. It was Prophet Ahijah during the reign of Solomon. Action of a prophet. When a Christian is in trouble, that is not when he starts running about. You are already in trouble. You should come out of trouble. Running about does not solve the problem. You come out of it. It was you that entered trouble now without anybody's help. So you should be able to come out of trouble without going, running to one deal, running to... It is not right for a Christian to get into trouble, and then for the Christian to, the next thing Christian will do is to pick his phone or her phone and be calling Baradinga. No, no, no. The Christian is equipped to come out of any kind of trouble by the power of the Holy Spirit. You have to get this class. My aim is to make Christians independent of people, of third parties, of leaning on other people and getting manipulated and necessarily looking for somebody that is an intermediary between them and God. One day, my wife drove out. I think I was praying or meditating. And God has blessed me with all the good things that I lived in my life. My life is a good life. So I do not agitate. 30 minutes, 1 hour, she wasn't back. I didn't call. So usually I would not. I'll just ask you this because she says she's fine, she's fine. So I'm not the kind of person also that would be calling people and be like, "Hey, I don't worry about anything or anybody. I just know that I have the Holy Spirit. It will tell me. If anything is wrong, I know before you call." Suddenly she called. The car stopped moving. That stopped moving. Where are you? She told me where she was. I was like, "Oh my. This means I will have to go out." So I got in the car, drove out. I got there. The people that were there, men that were there, that were watching her, none of them had driven a car before. These are adult men or had any experience with a car. They said it is the fake part. In my head, I was thinking, these are adult men. This is something that's very like the fake part. I said, "It cannot be the fake part." You said, "Yes, you press the accelerator. Car is not moving. And you're talking brake. How can it brake?" I opened the bonnet. I saw that it was the radiator. The radiator was dry. Okay, get me water. They got me some water. Filled the radiator. Started the car. Car started. I drove it around. Gave her back a car and a car key. Okay. Get ahead of me. Let's go. However, when we got home, I had to call her and say, "You have to begin to pay attention." So again, many of my sisters, they just plug and play when it comes to cars. Some sisters actually pay attention and they know what's wrong with the car. But many of my sisters, they will just, if the car should have any headache like this, they will become powerless, right? They will need a third party, a divine intervention, their husband mostly. It's always the husband that is in trouble. Their husband mostly is the best person they will call. In fact, sometimes the husband will be in America. Sometimes the husband will be in London. And they will be in Nigeria. And then their first instinct is just with their phone and call their husband. "Your car Your car has stopped working. Come and carry it. You see, ahead, your come and carry, or call somebody to come and carry it. Your car is no longer working. You just carry the handbag, lock the car, then they will take Uber home. When the husband is ready, you should come and carry the car. No, that is how many Christians behave. That is not the way a Christian should be. The right thing is to then master it, to say, no, I don't want to be in a situation where I'm stranded. It is not right for a Christian to be stranded and for the Christian to need a bailout from outside. No, no, no. Your helper is within. The only one of Israel is your helper. And that helper is not, you are not looking up to the hills and asking for whence coming my help anymore. Let me say that again. We lift up our eyes to the hills. From whence coming my help? That we used to sing is what Old Testament belief. Jesus Christ came and gave us the helper, and he put the helper inside of us. He said, the Holy Spirit is your alos paracletos, more like me. He said, he will be your helper. He will be your helper. So when we pray, we look within. When people pray, they bow their head. Our helper is within us. You must have that consciousness like anything. That consciousness is key. It's central to all the things that you will do in your life, whether you are going to be successful or not. Once a Christian does not have that conviction, a Christian will still be 70, 60, 50. You will still be, first you are leaning on some people that are older than you for prayer. Later you'll be leaning on people that are younger than you for prayer. You see, you are going to be helpless for your life. And sometimes the help will not, because you did not put the help to work immediately, the thing may get out of hand. So even when you find yourself in trouble, by your God you run over a troop. By your God you leap over a wall. When David was surrounded at Keilah, the Bible said Saul was a few inches away from him. David said, I cried, Hi, Kaya to Siatepele, Akara. How had the evil one surrounded me, O Lord? See, he's prophesying. Why? Why am I so surrounded by these dark cows? They would have caught me. They want to catch me. Oh, Lord, arise. As soon as he began to speak, I'm telling you, they told Saul, they came to him, they said, Saul, there is trouble. Some people had come. They are raiding a town close by. Saul had to divert. David did not have anybody to help him, but he had God. But he didn't have a priest. It wasn't the time to say, Abiathar, come and use Urim and Thummim. No, it was full of God. He said, oh, but I know my God. Hi, care, care. Hi. You must carry God. You must, Apostle Paul said, wear him like a toga. He said, wear Christ. He didn't say it should be outside. He said, wear him as if you're wearing the cloth. Let it be your adornment. Let it be your consciousness. You cannot, a Christian should not be stuck. Christian should not be stuck. Get at the airport. That happened to me several times. Somebody bought me a ticket and the person forgot and put her name. Because when we bought flight, they said, this name is not matching what is in your passport. I said, okay, you say I should stand aside. I stood aside. I'll tell it to every other person. But when I stood aside, I just breathed on my ticket. That's the truth. I have businesses. I just breathed on it. I gave it back to her. She don't even remember to check again. I'll be gone. You won't delay me. You won't. You cannot. You do not have the power to. You do not have the power to. You do not have the authority to waylay me or delay me or stop my passing or my process. If God has sent me on an errand, you do not have the power to stop me. You don't. You must have that consciousness. That's where I'm going. You must have that consciousness where you know that God is with you. The God of Jacob is within me. The deliverer of Israel dwells in me. You must have that consciousness. When it comes to prophecy, this is the difference between passive people that will just say, God bless you, and you will not be blessed. I hope that you say, God bless you, and you will be blessed almost immediately. This is a big difference between the two. So people, they just, when they speak, they speak good words, but their words are just flowery, flattering, good, kind. They make you feel good, but they do not change anything. Some people, when they come, they say they want to come and pray for you. They will come, they will speak English. They will speak English that you are sick. You will hear their English. You'll be like, ah, yeah, God should answer this prayer. Ah, come on. See how you wove the words together. But it is words that will just, it is for your benefit. And so people, when they pray, they will look at you. Look at you. You are healed. Get up. And you will feel power emanating in your bones. And you are like, okay. So why did the first person's prayer? Why didn't it work? Even though it was good for my ears, it is because it is not active. It is not an active profession. It wasn't an active word. It is passive. Passivity here. Look at Joshua. They said you are fighting a battle at Aijalon. That Israel began to win. Israel and the Gibeonites began to win. And that the one thing that shouldn't betray them wanted to betray them. And that was nature. They had been fighting a battle that they were losing. Then God turned the tide and they were going to win. And they wanted to win that battle so well that they will harvest. And suddenly the sun was going down. And Joshua said, son, stay. Hi, Kalelia, poor city that stay. You must have audacity. You must have something inside of you for you to say that. Typically, you will not say that. Typically, anybody that is thinking like the Christian of today think will never tell the sun not to go down. Will never. But he knew the consciousness of the power that he had. And he told nature that nature must stay its course, that the sun must stay up. See the action of the prophet. Look at Elisha. Himself and his uncle, his boss, departed ways. He received the mantle. Look at the audacity to hit the water and shout. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? What was he expecting? He didn't say water part. The water parted because of intention, not because he spoke to the water. You don't have to say something. Just everything must have, a prophet must speak as in your English must be thorough, complete, and because God is marking your grammatical error, or God is looking at how you pronounce your pitch, all that one, it's not God. Don't move by that. What he said was, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Why did the Jordan part? What he said, and Jordan parting, what is the correlation? It was the action. Why? Because when they were coming, Elijah did not say Jordan part. Elijah just took his mantle and hit the water, and the water parted. It was action. He didn't have to talk. Consciousness. Born again Christians full of the Holy Spirit. You are going for an interview. You have spoken to your hand. I'm going to shake hands with the. Today is my sit down with the CEO of this company. As soon as he shakes my hand, I declare it. The power of the Holy Spirit will move into it, and he would have no option. He will have no rest until he gives me what I want. You will have said it at home. You will say it when you address it, not that you'll be saying it over and over again. So some of us will be repeating the same words. Oh my. Am I sounding harsh? If I'm sounding harsh, can I see your hand? I'm sorry. I just felt so people feel offended. Don't be offended. Don't be offended. I'm not Okay, sorry, 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 sorry. Sorry. I'll tone it down. Tone it down. I know that some of us are very sensitive. You must understand my passion. You must have a passion. I want to see it happen in my lifetime. I want to, the kind of result I expect. I am seeing some, but we can do much more. We can do much more. There is power in you. If you are conscious of it, you can do much more. You can shake the hand of a policeman. Like the policeman stops your car and you say, I'm going to do, I'll deal with you today. I thought, oh, I can't shake my hand. Okay. And as soon as he shakes your hand, you just begin to laugh. I mean, he will just begin to laugh. He does not know you. This is how we know the sons of God. This is how people begin to talk about the manifestations. He will just begin to laugh. You will just notice that his language, his tone, everything will change. Why? Because when he was shouting, you are like, Holy Spirit, I don't want this man to delay me. Don't have time for this. When I shake his hand, Father, melt his heart. I mean it. I began to learn these things years ago, but they began to work for me like that too, because I became conscious of it. I shared with us that I was watching a man of God, a Nigerian man of God, on YouTube one day. I normally don't, if you see my teaching, you will see that I don't copy anybody. I stay with what God is teaching me. So I don't listen to or copy anybody. I don't quote anybody. I try to avoid sounding like anybody. I just want Christians to sound like themselves. I even don't encourage people to be quoting me. I say, no. I want to hear you sound like you. I want to hear your testimony. I want to hear your preaching so that I can gain from it, but from your perspective, not what I think I said, oh, no, that's not right. But I hate this man of God. Benihin was talking. Benihin. Benihin was talking, and Benihin said, he invited a man of God from Nigeria to his house in America. He said the man of God landed at the airport. He himself went to pick the man of God. He didn't set protocol because he respected the man of God a lot. So he picked the man of God and he said, oh, I'm not taking you to your hotel yet. I want to meet my family. So this means this man of God is going to Benihin's house to meet Benihin's family members. So while they were going, Benihin was saying, oh, my daughter is married to a pastor. She's also working in the supernatural. My wife is at home. You will meet this, my son, is also married. You meet this, my son, is also married. This, my daughter, is also married. Then, as we were approaching the house, he then told the man of God, he said, but my last born, my last son, I don't want you to be embarrassed. He may not greet you when you get home. He's into drugs. He has tattoo all over his body. He's afraid. He has done rehab. I don't know what to do. But I just don't want, when you get to my house, I don't want to be disappointed. So I have to tell you ahead. So imagine Benihim explaining himself to a man of God so that the man of God will not be disappointed that, eh, you have a son that is into drugs. My God. And you call yourself a man of God. You know how that thing can look. So he was trying to prepare the heart of this man of God for his son so that when the man of God sees his son, the man of God will not be shocked. Then they got into the house. His family was waiting. Introduced the man of God to his wife, introduced the man of God to all the children. Then the last child came out with all his tattoo and his strange haircuts and all that. And when he now called him and said, oh, Joshua, I wanted to meet my friend from Nigeria. So the young man now said, Nigeria? Wow, I have some friends from Nigeria. So the man of God just stretched his hand to shake the 16-year-old boy. The 16-year-old boy shook the hand of this man of God. And the boy immediately began to shake, tremble, and he fell on the floor and began to vomit all the drugs in his system. This is not prayer meeting. This is not crusade. This is not sermon. and telling you before God. Benny Hinn himself shared the testimony, so it wasn't the third party. It is still on YouTube. Said the boy began to convulse immediately. That they wanted to help. Man of God said we should leave him. That the boy was on the floor, rolling, vomiting, everything in his tummy, and the boy was crying. And that the boy was there in that spot. He said from that moment till the next morning, almost 16 hours. It was all the drug in his system left. It was supernatural detox, supernatural rehab. The drug dried out. He cried and cried and cried and cried and cried, and his head was straightened. And when he woke up the next morning, he gave his life to Christ. He took his Bible. He began to behave normal. I saw the testimony from Benny Hinn. Not that somebody was quoting. Benny Hinn said, "This happened to my son." He shouted it on TV. Yeah, he said, "I've never seen it before." And I said, "I've traveled all over the world. I've worked miracles all over the world. I've never seen what I saw before. No sermon, no preaching, just a handshake." When I heard it, I began to speak in tongues. I was screaming. You have to understand. My imagination could never go that far. But when I saw that, hey, I was looking at my own hand. I was looking at my own hand. Is it that person has 10 fingers? Don't I have hand? I don't know if we do the spirit. Don't I pray in tongues? So what is it that person has that I don't have? I see visions too. I'm full of the Holy Spirit and I know it. It is, I was the only one that could limit myself and what God could do through me. If it is the, as far as my eyes can see, it is where your own imagination stops. That's where somebody else's imagination begins. If I was the one that was told that, naturally, if I was the one that was told that there is a boy in our house, he has this, he has that, right? Do you know what I would do? I would say, I'll be praying with you, brother. I've met many men of God like that too that are struggling. The children of pastors now are this. God will help us. You know, pastors' children are the most attacked all over the world. The devil is against our kingdom. See what he's doing to pastors' children all over the world. I know one. I even tell him. I know some. That's the truth. I know some that are into cocaine. I know those that are into this. But we are managing it. In fact, that was why my former boss, their church, they started the pastors' forum. Because they saw that the pastor's children were decaying. I would have been speaking English. See how somebody handled it. He was so sure of the power of God in him, so sure of it. He did not even give Benny Hinn an indication. He didn't say, "When we get to your house, I will pray for your son." He didn't see anything like that. He was still talking, and yet power was flowing. Hi, Kaya, Tupineka, Azibidi. When I saw that, I had to sit down. I had to sit down and look at my life. I said, I will try this thing. I will try this thing. Do you know how many times I've tried it? Over 200, over 300 times. It has never failed at any time. The first time I tried it, some of us remember the case. Because that case was hot. Many of the ministers here intervened in that case. A young lady that left her husband because she became very rich, and she said the husband was earning peanuts, that he could no longer, there was not, she had nothing to give her, had nothing to give him, that she has bought a house and she was moving out to the house she bought. So she told the husband that the rent is still 6 months to expire. So I'm giving you 6 months so that you can pay rent and move on with your life. I am moving to the house I've bought with our children. My daughter wrote me a lengthy message on Twitter, on X. And then I sent him my number and he called me. And he said, "I've been fasting, but I've been fasting. I'm working. Both of us were working. In fact, when we started life, I was the one that first got the job. She didn't have a job. We were surviving on my salary. I was the one that sponsored her to the program, Young Entrepreneurs, African Young Entrepreneurs program, that Obama sponsored that time. I was the one that paid part of the money that made that travel. Because when she met Obama, and they introduced some business people to them, that she met one client, and that one client gave her his entire portfolio for his hotel business all over the world. And suddenly, she came into big money. He said, from the moment she came into big money, I was no longer good. I was no longer good enough. We have two children. I have bet. I have told her that I will do better. But Brabinga, I went there last Valentine, last birthday, I bought iPhone 11. That's what was out at that time. I bought iPhone 11 for her. She had already bought the phone that I don't even know the name from America. So the phone that I gave her was nothing to her. I cannot kill myself. Brabinga, please, I don't want to lose my home. Ah. So I said, give me your wife's number. So give me the number, I called her. Hi, hi. Ah, and the wife, you know, she's a lawyer. So she fired me. Said a lot of things about the husband. I said, look, can I see you? Can we see? She said, yes. That's fine. That's all. And I was going, I prayed in tongues. I told my hand. I said, this lady is not somebody I can convince with English. She has made up her mind. But the Bible said that the heart of a king is in the hand of the Lord. And he steer it in whatever direction he wants. And the touch of my hand, all I want is a touch of my hand. Let her heart melt. Let her forget all the case she had against her husband. Let her just be, let her just find herself full of love for him all over again. I spoke to my hand, I spoke to my body. I said, yeah, today you are dispensed. You are doing that thing today. These are gentlemen. I got to the house she bought in Lagos, called her. A doorman opened the main gate. I got into the house. The doorman took me to her door. I got to her door. I saw her. She was looking at the, they were doing the finishing of the house, changing some things. So I greeted her. I said, ah, this house is beautiful. How is the house? Oh, by the way, my name is Benga. So I extended my hand. And she shook my hand and immediately, not later, not mere 2 days later, immediately there was an arrest. Immediately. She just started shaking her hand. Where's Femi? Where's Femi? And she picked her phone and she called her husband herself. Come, 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 please, come. This is the address. Come, come now. Come, the blooding guy said, come now. And I just went to stand at the balcony and I was admiring the view because she bought a house on a high rise. So I was admiring the view and then the husband came. The husband came. The husband came upstairs. She saw her husband. She hugged him. She began to cry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. When I saw that, what I wanted to achieve has been achieved. I exited, I entered my car, I went back home. In fact, I forgot, I took a labor day, I forgot my car key in the house. I had to go back to pick my car key because I didn't drive there because I didn't know that area well. So I took a labor day. When I saw that worked, the next person was a sister working with a First Bank as an accountant, and the husband also worked with First Bank as an IT person. And both of them had been separated for 3 years. And every time I tried to talk to the husband, it was the wife that came to me to cry that I want my marriage back. But the husband said, no, you are the one that left. I've moved on. And the wife was saying, Brabinga, please, I'm not the one begging him. Let him come and marry me back. Let him come and marry. I said, okay. Can I see you? He said, no, he doesn't want to see me. The wife said, Brabinga, this is our office. This is where he parks his car. I said, okay. I left my house 5 a.m. I got to the place 6 a.m. I was speaking in tongues. They have given me the plate number, the kind of car. I was looking at the car's coming in. When I saw his car, I said, this was his car. Come down from my car. I went to it. As soon as it was coming to that gate, I just called his name. I sent him my hand like this. On the road, he shook my hand immediately. He looked at me and said, ah, my God. I don't know what happened to me. Let me talk to my wife. I told you the wife was working in the same bank, but she was in account department. Called the wife. The wife was just arriving too. Normally they should ride in together, but because they are separated, that's it. Both homes restored. After that, I realized there is active prophecy. There is a spirit of prophecy that changes the world. That is the same power we use to heal the sick, the same power we use to raise the dead. But we prefer to just pray and beg God rather than do God. We prefer to beg, you know, but to God, come and help me, rather than look at the situation, assess it and say, no, this is how this thing will go. You know how somebody, your child will come and say, oh, my leg, and then you say, come, sit down, and then you just lay your hand on the leg. You're not even praying, because the Bible says they shall lay their hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. It didn't say lay your hand and pray. It said lay your hand. It just said lay your hand. Many of us did not pay attention to that. So a lot of people, they will lay hand, and then they will begin to shout. No, 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 lay. It didn't say touch. It said lay, lay your hand. That means there's something that will happen when your hand is laid on somebody for the person to be healed. It means there is anointing. It means there is a spirit that will cause healing, that will make the person get healed. There is something. It means you don't have to lay hand and shout it, Father, do it. Father, Father. No, it means there is an active faith. There's an active spirit of prophecy that is working in you. Active, that makes the word of God of effect when you put it to work. Not when you preach about it or when you talk about it, but when you actually do it. And that is the spirit of prophecy, the spirit that makes us to do. Because many of us, we prefer that somebody will say, God shall provide. In fact, the Bible says that if you have to give somebody, don't say God will provide, just give the person. If you don't have, then say God will provide. It was telling you that it is better to do what you say God will do. If you cannot do it, that is when you can now delegate it to God and say God will provide. Normally, you should provide. This is the mindset that a believer must have. This is your conviction. From the depth of your heart, this is your conviction. That how can God live inside of me and I find myself in a jam and I cannot come out of it? God cannot call me. I cannot bring me out. I will not have to call somebody from outside. The person will not come out. I will now be helped the way they help somebody that doesn't know God. You know, since I became born again, there's never been an occasion, not one, since I became born again, in which I've ever had to call anybody to come and bail me out of any situation. See me saying it with all my mouth. I'm telling you the truth. And that doesn't mean I don't get in trouble. Oh boy. I was a trouble magnet. But again, I said God is your evidence. When I was going to my office, when I had a very terrible, I called the man terrible, but it was actually the one that trained me the best in administrative work and ministry. But when I was working with him, it was it was a slave driver. And his tongue was very, when he insults you, you think he's my grandma. I used to say, well, there's nothing he can say that other staff members would be crying, I'll be laughing. They will say, well, I said, they have a grandma like my own. My grandmother, if my grandmother talks to you like this, you will know that this one is baby insulter. What can he say? But at the point when he began to terrorize my life, you know, when you wake up in the morning and you are thinking of your boss and your heart is doing big, 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 and your phone is ringing, you see his number, you're like, hey, big, big, big. I say, nobody should be able to treat me. Nobody in this world should be able to put me a spirit of terror in me like this. How can I be working for you? I'm working for you, yeah, to get paid. And then when you call me, it will be as if I'm having BP. Me, I've never had such things before. I've been as healthy as ever in my life. But this man, at the sound of the name of this man, my heart was failing. When it comes to the office like this, I'll become jittery. I'll be shaking. When I go to his office to drop a file for him, he will notice that I was not put together. I was never like that. But he has terrorized my soul. I said, no. Every morning when I'm going to work, I'll say, this is how this office will be today. I will speak to the office. I'll speak to my boss. You will not respond like that to him. He's not God. You will behave like a son of God. You will sit in your office. You will be composed. You will write what you are supposed to write. You will look at him in the eyes and you will speak to him. And when you speak to him, he will listen. There will be no argument. There will be no anchor. There will be no fight. By the time I did that for 1 week or 2 weeks, by the third week, that's the end of it. All terror gone. Why? Because I had to remind myself that I'm a child of God. That I shouldn't be reacting like this to any human being. not to a president, not to a king, not to any mortal. If I don't have that kind of fear for God, I shouldn't have it for any human being. And I shouldn't have to call anybody to say, help me talk to him, help me talk to him. Eventually, all the staff members will ask me, hey, you are this your boss? How are you handling him? Because once he comes to the office, everybody will go and hide. I'm not kidding. Like, his car enters the office like this. Or the office will be joyful before. Once he comes like this, everybody will go and sit down in their place. Everybody will quickly put on their light. Everybody will sit down and see they are serious. And because they know the kind of trouble it can bring. And then that is when I will not come out of the office. I will not be looking for me. We shall say, you're not with pastor. I say, let him take care of himself for today. I'm going to eat. I will wonder, how did you do it? I said, once you conquer that terror, you have conquered it. Then you gain mastery. You don't just conquer terror, you gain mastery over terror. So here's my teaching today. I want you to get it. You must activate that spirit of prophecy in you. You must activate it deliberately. You must always and consciously realize that you are a child of God, full of the Holy Spirit. So when you are praying, when you are speaking in tongues, it is good to pray the way we normally pray. But even if it's just 10, 15 minutes of your time, I do it for hours, so not minutes. But just start that and speak to your body. Say it. You are a child of God. The way Jesus speaks to himself in the Bible, the way he would normally address himself, when Jesus would say that, I and my Father are one. What I see my Father do, I do. I am the Son of God. I am the Son of the Blessed One. Ah, hey, kai kai, leke te pedi. That's how you will talk to yourself. All men must see the glory of God, and they must see the work, the manifestation of the work of God in my life, and glorify my Father who is in heaven. I have come to do the duty of my Father while it is day, for night cometh when no man can walk, and nobody can hinder my work. Nobody can stand in my way. Nobody can distract me. Nobody can foil my plan. As I'm going out today, everything I meet will work together for my good. And I'm not just confessing it. Then I'll speak to my hand. Everyone I touch today, the sick will be healed. The demon possessed will be loosed of their demon possession. Anyone that I touch today, they will be blessed. Those that need my attention, when I give it to them, it will be fruitful. And anybody that is in any spot of bother or in trouble that I will extend my hand to, just like everyone Jesus extends his hand to in the Bible, he saves them. I will be their savior. I will save them out of their trouble. I will speak like that. Then I will speak against any hindrance. I don't even lay emphasis on that, but I speak. Anyone that has been programmed by anyone to stand against me today, when they see me, they will forget their intention. They will not be able to do it anymore. They will not be able to carry out their enterprise. No matter who it is, when I go anywhere, I'll be treated with honor. I'll be treated with grace. I'll be treated with power. And I mean it. Now, let me tell you, if I now go anywhere, and the people there, and this usually happens with people that are familiar with you, if I go anywhere and the people there behave contrary to my words, I will leave. So, for example, if you invite me to a party, and then you said the bouncers should stay at the door, and bouncers are at the door, and I want to enter, and the bouncers are telling me, no, you have to wear this, you have to wear this, I'll get my car and leave. It is because of familiarity that something like that can contradict my confession. It can never happen if I'm by myself anyway. It's because I know you, and you have given your dogs instruction, and they are now going to act contrary to what I've said about myself. I'll get my car and leave. Because familiarity is what actually tries to stop this thing. If I'm dealing with neutral people, I know how I'll be treated when I get there. So if I'm going to deal with you because of familiarity, and then you do not allow things to work my way, I'll get to my car. There's nothing you want to offer me that I don't have in my house. So which is why sometimes I'll just say, no, I'm not going there. Why? Because it is contrary to my confession. I have said that today there will be no hindrance. You will now not go and put bouncers at the door when I'm coming to your party to come and celebrate with you, so that they will not constitute an hindrance and turn against my own prayer. I will not do it. So I will stand my ground there until you move your bouncers, or I will get in my car and go to my house, because it is my word and I must enforce my word to a T all the time. I must see my word come to pass. I do not compromise on the confessions that I make to myself. I don't. If I say my body will not fail me, and I say all my organs and all, every organ in my body is healthy, they are strong, they are active, no organ in my body will fail me, my car will not fail me, when I get into a plane will not fail, the word of God, everywhere I go, I carry the mirror in the presence of God. When I say things like that, and then I get to you, and then you say, but I mean, I know, and then I say, okay, then that means I've told my body the lie. So one lie means that it will undo all the things that I've said, so I will enforce. So when you see me anywhere, it is always on the front foot of authority. I do not take a passive approach to prophecy. I'm always actively engaging prophecy. So I shared with us, maybe he not here, but on another platform, that I went to a bank and I got to the bank and they said they've closed. And I said, no, you have to open your gate. And I said, the security people are laughing. I said, no, nobody tells me no. You open your gate, say they are not going to open that gate. I said, come your manager now. And then they went to call the manager. The manager came out and the manager looked at me and said, yes, sir. I said, I have a transaction to do and you have to open your gate for me. I said, okay. And the manager opened the gate. And I went, I said, this is my name. And I went in. And when I went in, I know she went to check her computer and she waved at me from afar. Like, oh, Oga, because you will open your gate. You will not, I will not want something. And one fig tree will refuse to give me. If a fig tree refuses to produce results for me, it is because it wants to die up. Because all things must work together according to the way the world we have for Jesus. When just in the upper room, he didn't have to beg anybody. When there the donkey yielded. Everything, you must have that consciousness that this is how my life will be going forward. I will never find myself with my willing without an active reality of faith. My life will continue to produce great and mighty miracles, great and mighty deeds, because I am conscious of the Spirit of God that is in me and the work of prophecy that I have to do. This is the mindset that the just must have. They call it the mindset of the just. That Christ is in me. The power that made the whole world, that sent that be light and that was light, is in me. The one that called forth that out of darkness dwells in me. So that power has empowered me so that nothing in this world can stop me, nothing in this world can hinder me, nothing in this world can prevent me from achieving my goals. You would set your eyes on that. You would think like that. You would act like that. You will make sure that everything you then do going forward, that is the mindset. You meet somebody that is in trouble, you are helping them. You meet somebody that is having mental issues, you are laying your hand. When you lay your hand, you will not say, Jesus, please come and heal him. You say, you are healed. If there's anybody that is demon possessed, you say, come out in the name of Jesus. One time. When you say, you don't go back and say, did he go? Did he not go? No. You have made your confession. The Bible says that if you pray properly in your closet, it said when you come out that in the open, God will then begin to magnify himself. He said, Jesus said it. He said, when you pray properly in the closet, that's when you speak in tongues, you speak to your body, you meditate like Jesus also did. You notice that Jesus did all these things I'm saying. He will have done it in secret. But when he comes into the open, he will just be doing. Jesus does not say, God, come and heal. He will just say, you are healed. Stand up and walk. Get out of that bed. Stretch your hand. Eyes open. And then you see those things responding to him because the Bible then will say that in the evening, he will retreat, and then he will do what? He will do what we are doing now. He will pray in the spirit. He will pray until the disciples will see that, hey, this guy is praying. And then he will meditate. And then he will meditate on him being the Son of God. All the possibilities of being the Son of God. He will meditate. He will talk to his Father. And then the next day, he will continue the good work. That is the fulfillment. That is the active engagement of the anointing. That is the spirit of prophecy. That is the fulfillment of who a son of God is. That is the power of God that's at work in you. All the cases I mentioned earlier, at the beginning, when I started talking, all of them were resolved. The person that killed the baby, that was the end of it. That same day, didn't get a police station. That same day, it was resolved. The one that the judge said, the judge can't, the judge said he should pay 100 naira. 100 naira was resolved. Because of active engagement of prophecy, because they were in trouble. But they knew that if they would speak, I told them, speak, speak. Say, no, tonight I'm sleeping on my bed. I'm not sleeping in the police station. And this matter is resolved here by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yeah, come. What do we do? You will just say that they will just change their tone. And they will begin to do right because you have spoken based on the capacity of God that is at work in you. Glory to God. It's time to give our offering. Ah, thank you, Father. Oh, la hate panekai kai kai le ha di bini akashati dash. Oh, The Lord said I should speak in the spirit over your offering, and that's what I'm doing. Holy Kiana, Shatibidiano, Shatibidi Kiana Berledia da Kai, Seteberia no Sase Peria, Toshia de Kaya, Carmiliana Garabarotia Shades, Leke di Diane Catabarro Cassitia, Lebediato Fisia, Dacatiana Catiana Cadianas, Robedigiana Satibana, Kai de Gidiano Satabarigiano Sadish, Legediba Naka, Likia do Gasusu Casusia, La Catibiana Kai, Ezubina Kai, Cadigiana Catubia, Necatibia, that it may be built up, Lekiriana, Kukiana Kara, propped up, Kekidi, Lekutia Barroco to the metal stand, Kai, Lekadugia Lakiana, Shagereberiana Shadegis, Rambeliano, Shasenegereberiana Garabarada, Shateberiano, Shasateris. Let in the place of your God expand, stretch your tents. Remariana shasata. Oh, Father, we give you glory. Thank you, Jesus. These are the sons of God. These are the sons of God with the consciousness of God. Let all things obey them, Lord. Let all things yield to them. Let all things yield to them. They are saviors out of Zion. Therefore, Lord, let all things answer to them according to your word. Thank you, Father, for answering our prayers. We give you glory. Hallelujah. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. If you are blessed, please submit and shout glory.
Hey.
Thank you.